Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 through 25. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if, for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and you are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if, when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. We come before you and ask that you will speak to us and meet with us, God, and help us to honor you and give you glory this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Previously, in chapter 2, in 1 Peter, Peter speaks to all of his readers in general, and he says to them, live such a good life among the pagans. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, among the pagans, so that even when they say bad things about you, even when they slander you as evil, they may see the way you live your life, they'll see your behavior and your conduct, and then basically it will prove. Your behavior, your conduct, the way you live your life will prove to them that you are not evil and that you're actually very good, and God will get the glory. So you're going to present, you know, a different kind of perspective on what Christians are like by the way you live your life. So keep your behavior excellent. And then the example that he gives of this good life, of this behavior that is excellent, conduct that is excellent, is submitting to the authority that God has placed over your life. So he says, honor the king. One of the things that he says that we looked at last time I was preaching is honor the king. And there must have been this idea that being a Christian, somehow Christians were rebellious because they were worshiping a different king, right? Because Jesus is the new king. And so there must have been some idea, maybe some accusations on Christians being rebellious, living for another kingdom, serving another king. And so Peter kind of wants to say, honor the authority, the human authority that God has placed over your life so that we don't get a bad name. Christians don't get a bad name. And so he says, honor the king. And many Bible scholars suggest that it was Emperor Nero who was the emperor at the time when Peter is writing this. And church tradition says Peter was actually executed by Nero, eventually. So, I just want you to imagine, you know, if you are Peter's disciple at this time, and Peter has just been executed, you know, unjustly by Emperor Nero, and then you're writing the letter that Peter has written to you, and you're reading this, and it says, honor the emperor. And you're reading it, and you're going, but this emperor has just killed you, Peter. This emperor unjustly has just put you to death. And you're reading it and you're going, oh man, what does that even mean? How could I honor the person that just put you to death But that's basically the message that Peter is sending to his readers. He's saying, even if the authority that is placed above you is harsh and unjust, and it seems unfair, I want you to still honor that person. And, you know, Jesus Christ will say the same thing, well, similar thing. He says, love your enemies and bless them, right? We're used to loving people that are good to you, loving people that are nice to you, loving people that love you back. But Jesus says, what credit is that, right? Love your enemies and bless the ones that curse you. So maybe Peter is taking that same idea and he's bringing it into this realm of authority, how to submit to human authority. So that's the example that he gives. And then in this text, he specifically speaks to the servants. He specifically speaks to the servants, perhaps because the servants in this society maybe were the ones that most often suffered unjustly. You know, maybe the servants, the NIV will call them slaves. Maybe that group of people at this time were the ones that were most likely to go through harsh leadership, you know, harsh authority. And so Peter wants to speak to them directly to give them encouragement on how to live this life. And he says something really, really radical. Yeah, I think it's really difficult, honestly, to read this and think about the implications of what Peter is saying. He says, slaves or servants, be submissive to your masters with all respects, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. I just feel like, especially for our day and age, in the 21st century, what Peter is suggesting, it goes against so much of what we believe, like, deep inside as an absolute right that we have as human beings. But Peter is saying, don't only serve and be submitted to a leader that is good to you and that is reasonable and that is gentle, but serve and be submitted to the leader, or in this case, to your master, who is unreasonable. This word unreasonable, it means crooked, wicked, perverse. So it's not just a leader that is somewhat, you know, difficult to talk to, hard to approach. But this is a wicked, evil kind of a leader, master. And Peter is saying, I want you to be submissive to them. Not just the ones that... So he's basically saying, don't just serve and submit to those who are gentle and good. Basically, those who deserve your submission. Don't just be submitted and serve and obey the ones that deserve this from you, but do it to those that don't deserve it. You know? And I think for us, when we're reading it, I don't know what it was like for them, but when we're reading it, I think our mind, you know, everything in us is against it. We're like, that doesn't make any sense. How we're supposed to fight for our right to not suffer, you know? Anyway, what's Peter talking about when he says these leaders, these masters that are unreasonable, crooked, perverse, wicked? The example, let me explain. So, he says in 19, this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God. So Peter is saying, I mean, you do it because of God. And he will go into it in verse 21. From verse 21, the second half of what we read, basically is Peter's reasoning for why he's saying what he's saying. which is Jesus Christ did the same for you and me. Jesus Christ suffered unjustly. And if Jesus Christ fought for his right to not suffer and fought for his right to protect himself, defend himself, we wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't have this eternal life. We wouldn't have this reconciliation with God. So Jesus Christ is the example, and this is why we do it. So if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. And verse 20, he says, "For what credit is there if when you sin and you are harshly treated, you endure it with patience?" So Peter is saying, if you are harshly treated for what you have done, and you did something bad, you broke the rule and you are harshly treated, there's no credit for you. And you know what that word harshly treated means? It means to be beaten, to be struck with blows, to be violently treated. So Peter is saying, if you are beaten, violently treated because you did something bad and you endure it, there's no credit to you. But if you are, and if we can take the same idea, he doesn't use that word again, but he says, but if you suffer when you haven't done anything, then there is credit. What he's saying is if you're beaten and treated violently, even when you haven't done anything. So that's the kind of unreasonable nature of the master that Peter is talking about. Right? It's not just difficult, you know what I mean? Like difficult to approach, kind of a hard leader. It's someone that is beating you and treating you violently and you haven't done anything. That's the kind of suffering that the servants are under. And Peter is saying to them, I want you to still be submitted to that leader. And treat them with respect or fear, reverence. So, radical, right? Very difficult. I think it's a very difficult text, but I have three things that I want to just share. I think that hopefully we'll try to explain a little bit. Number one, Peter is not endorsing the masters. We have to remember that. Because I think in the past, I mean, I don't know that much about slavery in the U.S. all those years ago, but I've read here and there that at times the crooked masters were using this text to say to the slaves, look, it's biblical, you need to submit to the masters, even when we beat you. But Peter is not in any shape or form endorsing the masters. He's not saying, masters, this is what you need to do. You need to, you know, he's not commending the masters. He's saying, he actually condemns the masters. He says, these masters are wicked. He calls them wicked, perverse, crooked. And so Peter is acknowledging, hey, the masters are evil. They're bad. And they're doing something that is unjust. Because he will say, if you're suffering unjustly, so Peter is not, he's not endorsing what the masters are doing. He's saying, hey, what they're doing is unjust, and what they're doing is evil, and what they're doing is harsh. And we have to remember, Peter is also going through that suffering. Right? He is, he's getting persecuted from the authority above him, and he eventually gets executed. I mean, the tradition is that he was crucified upside down. So Peter himself is going through this unjust suffering. And so I think we have to remember, we don't use this text to say to somebody else, like, hey, you need to... I mean, if you were to translate into our context, and if you're a leader over someone, you can... Don't use this text when you're being unreasonable to say, look, Peter says you need to submit to me anyway. Right? Peter, remember, he's condemning the masters. Number two that I want to point out to is twice in this text it says this finds favor. In verse 19 it says, for this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God a person bears up under sorrow. And then again, at the end of verse 20, when you endure, when you do what is right and you suffer for it and you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. This has to be explained. Because when you read that, it's very, that's difficult to receive. If you're a slave and you're getting beaten unjustly and somebody says, well, if you just submit to this, this will find favor with you. But the implication is if you react to this and you don't do something, or if you don't submit in this situation, then you're going to lose favor with God. If one thing finds favor, the other will lose favor with God. So that's a very difficult thing to understand. So I was struggling with it. What does that mean, this finds favor with God? And I went to the Greek and I was trying to understand. I think this is a bad translation. Most translations will say it this way, but let me just read to us what the ESV says. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrow." And then at the end of verse 20, "This is a gracious thing in the sight of God." That word favor is actually the word charis, which means grace. So if Peter is saying, if you do this, you're going to find favor, you're going to earn favor, it doesn't make sense. Because if grace is something that we receive that is unmerited, yet Peter is saying, you do this, then you're going to get grace. Well, then that's not grace. Now you're earning something. Now you're earning a favor with God. I don't think, well, I mean, if you look at the Greek, it basically is like this, grace. And I think interpreters are trying to understand, what does that mean? And most people have taken it to mean, oh, this is pleasing to God. This is commendable with God. You find favor with God if you do this. But I think Peter is, rather, I think what Peter is saying is, hey, this is grace. When you can do this, when you can submit to a leader that is unjust and crooked, this is grace. And it makes sense, because then Peter goes to say, and grace is what you received. Grace is what Jesus Christ offered you when he was suffering unjustly. And so that's the example that you have. Not that this will earn you grace. This will earn you favor from God. Can you imagine? I mean, if you're living under this idea that, man, if I do this, I'm going to earn God's grace, but if I don't, I'm going to lose grace. I think that's such a difficult thing for a slave to hear when they are suffering unjustly. And I think that, you know, of course they are, there's indignation, you know, there's like, they're mad and they're like, how can God do this? What kind of a cruel God is this that you make me suffer, and while I'm suffering, you say, I have to endure it, otherwise I'm going to lose favor with you. What a cruel God. So, it makes sense that people maybe get upset at this. But if we read it this other way, this is a gracious thing. This is grace when you suffer unjustly. Peter is not, you know, it's more of a, how do I use it? You know, encouragement. Like, this is grace. When you do this, you're displaying grace. This is a gracious thing for you to do, and this is a gracious thing in the eyes of God. And this gracious thing is what Christ went through for you. And so let's do it together. And Peter himself is going through this. Peter himself is going through this, and he's choosing to display grace through what he's going through. So, that's important. To me, that makes a lot more sense than this finds favor with God. Because that word charis, it's grace. How can we earn grace? And I mean, if you look at all the different use of this word, almost all the cases is grace, unmerited. I mean, Peter will use that word to say in Romans, this is the grace of God. It's a gift. You know, if you earned it, then it wouldn't be grace. So, anyway. And then number three. Because the question then, I think, is, okay, so if Peter is saying to them now, if you are being beaten unjustly, I want you to still submit to the leader. What does that mean for us? You know, like, what's the extent? Like, how does that apply to us? Does that mean if we're going through the same thing and somebody's beating us, you know, I don't know, the government or whatever is beating you for what you're doing and it's unjust, are we supposed to just submit to it? And I think in this time, I think we just have to understand the context of what Peter is saying this. When Peter is saying this, for the slaves, for the servants that he is talking to, I think there was nothing that they could do at the time. This was a normal thing for them to be beaten. I mean, right? What, 2,000 years ago when this is being written and there are slaves in the household, and it was a normal thing for them to be beaten. And it wasn't an unusual thing. I mean, if that were to happen in today's case, I mean, let's just say for a domestic helper at a home in today's context, and that were to happen, and then are we supposed to tell the helper, hey, look, Peter says you just need to submit. So it doesn't matter if they're beating you, just submit. You know, does that translate? And what I'm saying is I don't think so. In Peter's days, there's nothing that the servant could have done to come out of this time. This was a normal thing. Slaves are getting beaten everywhere. And so Peter is saying, given this context and what you're going through, what are we supposed to do as a follower of Jesus Christ? As someone that has submitted themselves to Jesus Christ, what are we supposed to do in this context? Well, you submit to the leader and you extend grace to that leader, just as Christ has extended grace to you. Because there was nothing that they could have done. There was no legal avenue by which they could have come out of this situation. But I think for a helper, you know, for in today's situation, there's a helper in a home that is getting beaten. That is not the normal thing that's happening in society. And there's legal ways for her to fight back and to say, hey, actually, this is not right. You know, there's nothing, you know, this is illegal for you to be beating me. And so I think in that context, she can do what is legally available for her to do to defend herself. And so we apply this in a different context. So it wouldn't be someone that is maybe beating you unjustly, but maybe it's just a harsh employer, you know, who is maybe unkind with her words, maybe a little harsh, maybe cold. And in that case, I mean, that is maybe common. It happens in other homes too. How are you going to react in that situation? Are you going to, you know, be mean back? Are you going to be harsh back to your employer? Or as a Christian that is submitted to Jesus Christ and who has extended grace to you, can we extend grace to a person like that? So I think we just have to kind of apply it in the correct way. That's a lot. I mean, there's probably a lot more we could talk about, but it's already 7:36. So Matt is going to lead us in a song that talks about what Jesus, who Jesus is, right? Lamb of God, worthy is your name. So let's just, I think for us, first we just have to, I think, reflect on the grace that Christ has given to us and the fact that he suffered unjustly for our sake. And he didn't defend himself. He didn't fight back. And that was a gracious thing for him to do. That was grace. And so in your life, is there an area where you can extend grace? Maybe you are suffering unjustly at the hands of somebody, friend, parent, boss. Is there an opportunity for you to extend grace? The same way that Christ has given you grace, is there a way for you to extend grace?
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning. Yeah. It's good. It's good. It's a good word, Nate. It's really good. The grace of God is awesome, huh? You are my strength.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my
say it again. Slow down this morning. Let's fix our eyes upon Jesus. Sing it again.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all.
Sing his name this morning.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Taking my sin,
my cross, my shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, you're the Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, you're the Lamb of God, worthy.
God says that we love because he first loved us, and that we can be gracious because God is gracious to us. So let's just fix our eyes upon him, turn our hearts to him, and just say, yes, God. Just yes to his love this morning. Yes, God, to your grace this morning, God. Yes, God. We just say yes to your love, Lord. Pour out your love in our lives, God. Pour out your grace in our lives this morning, God. Fill us with your grace, God. Fill us with your love, oh God. We turn our hearts to you, God. We cry out. We sing your name this morning.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy.
Yes, God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. You are worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our thanks. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our lives surrendered to you. And we want to, yeah, respond to the grace that you have shown us, to the grace that you have extended to us. We want to respond to that by extending grace to others. And so I just pray, God, whoever is in our lives that maybe are unjustly treating us with contempt and treating us unfairly, I pray, God, that we would be able to respond in grace as we have received from you. So, yeah, speak to us, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Let's pray together for our church. Let's continue to pray for those that are battling cancer, that's going through chemo or radiation therapy for cancer. Let's pray that God will move in a powerful way. Let's pray and stand in the gap for our friends. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that are seriously ill but also in need of salvation. Let's pray that they will come to know Jesus Christ, that their eyes will be opened. Let's also pray for healing, physical healing for them. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for those with various infirmities in our church. They're just injuries and different sicknesses. Let's pray for healing and encouragement for our friends. Let's pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision for our friends. Let's go to Thursday prayer focus. Let's pray for those, this mission focus, Singapore, Indonesia, Philippines, and USA. Just different church plants that we have. Two of them here in Hong Kong. Let's just pray for all the leaders and for all the members of these churches. Let's just pray for the power of God, the Spirit of God to really move powerfully in each of these church plants. I think we can put up Kelly for SP New York as well, because she's the intern pastor there. Let's pray for our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, SPU. Let's pray for God's leading and guidance for all the leaders, for all the students, children to encounter God even at a young age. Let's pray for the Spirit of God to move powerfully in each of these ministries. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries, Matt and Rachel, as they lead IP, the Well, and River. Let's pray for anointing. Let's pray for fruitfulness. Let's pray that they will be able to hear from God very, very well. Let's pray. Let's pray for our Thursday outreaches. Pray for SP Lights and Homie. And let's also pray for number 6, which is Shanti VBS. I just pray for that in part as part of that today. As the VBS is still going on, and there's people from our church that's going to participate in the Vacation Bible School for the Children's Club in Shanti Ministry. Let's pray for anointing for that. And for Homie Outreach and SP Lights, let's pray. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for just the political situation. Let's pray for the young people. Let's pray for the government. Let's continue to just pray for God's grace and peace. Pray for the churches to respond well in this time. Let's pray for wisdom for everybody involved, especially those in leadership. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this day. We praise you and we thank you for your love and grace. And help us to do the same to those around us, especially the ones that don't deserve it. Lord, that we'll be able to extend grace today. Walk with us, God, and remind us of that, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Help us to continue to pray with faith and with real fervency. God, thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.